we are in our final shiur on Parshat Devarim. We're going to have a shorter shiur now just to conclude the Parsha, even though it sort of, ironically, I think, interrupts the narrative of what we were building a little bit. Ariella wanted to know how we fit in those last two parts. You asked me last time, so I want to make sure that we do conclude the Parsha and really bring everything together. So we'll do a shorter shiur just to wrap up the last concluding pieces of Devarim. And then what we're going to try to do is we'll take a little bit of a break, and we'll actually jump into Vet Chanan today as well, because we lost a few Mondays, and I want to gain back some steam in Sefer Devarim. How did we outline? How did we put together Parsha Devarim? What did our outline look like?
Introduction.
Good. We had the introduction.
Appointment of judges.
We had the appointment of judges. Thank you. I was like, somebody knows what we talked about most last time. Chei Tameravlin. And we pointed out that that all was one paragraph. Right? This is, even though these are parts 1, 2, and 3, because, and we linked those together. We showed how the introduction sets the stage for the goal of the Sefer, and then this shows us how we go off track in, by putting in our own agendas, by putting in our own perspective on things, and that requires a shift of perspective. This is all one piece, even though they're parts 1, 2, and 3. And then comes the whole back end of the Parsha, which, to my knowledge, most people don't really speak about, because not only does Devarim fall out during the summer, so we don't speak about Devarim enough in general, not only does it fall on the back end of the Parsha, and we don't always get to the back end of the Parsha, but on top of all of that, it seems sort of odd. Starting from Perek Bet onward, Perek Bet is 37 Pesukim, and then Perek Gimel, which is another 22 Pesukim, the whole back 50 Pesukim of the Parsha, all seem to be talking about nations we should or shouldn't fight. What does that have to do with? What's the actual narrative there? How is that the conclusion, the end to everything that we talked about in the context of Parshat Devarim? So let's, again, we're not going to take such a long time. I just want to kind of succinctly and clearly fit this into to the narrative of Parshat Devarim. The concept of wars is very central. It's almost the first place to start. It's the most simple place where everything went wrong. We come to Eretz Yisrael. And what did we emphasize last time? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Alei Reish, go up and inherit. Implying what? Go and take Eretz Yisrael. But not just go and take it. What does that mean literally? He will just give it to you. Just go and inherit it. At least, like, Milashon Yerusha. Just go and inherit the land. Go take it. What doesn't it imply? That we're going to have a fight, a physical conquest. No war is involved there. And then we, of our own initiative. Pasuk Chav Bet, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Bet, we read this last time. V'tikruun Eilai Kulchem, and you came to me, v'tikruun Yishlecha Yishlevaneinu. Let's send people before us, v'yachperu lanu et ha'aretz, and to look out, and to investigate the land, v'yashivu otanu davar et ha'derech asher na'aleba, how should we go up, et ha'arim asher na'avor lehem, which turns into really a military expedition, and we come back and we complain that we're worried that we're going to die in this war. Whether it's Parshat Shlach, that we seem like grasshoppers in their eyes, we seem small to them, we're afraid of the giants that we're going to have to face when we go into the land. Whether it's that incredibly painful pasuk that we focused on so much last time, pasuk Chaf Zayin, b'sinat Hashem otanu hotzeanu me'eretz Yisrael, that God took us out of Egypt because of His hate for us, we think. Why? Latet otanu b'yad ha'amori la'ashmidenu, to send us to the hands of the Amorite to wipe us out. That we don't have this sense of security with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Our whole relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is broken. We don't see Him as being the one who's going to guide us and take us into the land to overcome the issues in the land. And so then we're told, you're not going to go in. You're not going to go into the land. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Uvamidbar asher ra'ita asher nisa'acha Hashem Elokecha. God carried you through the midbar kasher yisa ishet beno, like a person carries their child, bechol haderech asher halachta, the whole way He took you, ad bo'achem el ha'makom hazeh, to this place. I'm promising you, He's going to take you in. I skipped the most important pasuk, which I was going for, the one before that, sorry. Pasuk Lamed. Hashem Elokechem ha'olech lifnechem. It's God. He walks before you. Hu yilachem lachem. He will fight for you. Kechol asher asach itchem
He will fight for you. And then Moshe says, Pasuk Lamed Bet, Uvadavar Hazeh Inchem Ma'aminim Ba'Hashem Elokeichem. What's the basic emuna that's being lacked here? Where's the basic faithfulness that's lacking here on a level of? Pasuk again. We say this Pasuk all the time. It comes from here in the beginning of Sefer Devarim. Hashem Elokeichem Ha'olech Lifnechem Hu Yilachem Lachem Kechol Asher Asai Itchem B'Mitzrayim Le'inichem. What does God do for us? He fights our wars. He takes care of us along the road of history. If he says, go and take the land, he'll make sure that we get that land. And there's much more, there are much deeper issues in terms of what's broken between the emunah relationship between God and the Jewish people, and specifically from the Jewish people to God. But on the most fundamental level, they don't get that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding them, that he's fighting for them, and that he's the one who will guide them to their ultimate destination. And it's not just in that they don't think that he will bring them into Eretz Yisrael. Their whole perspective here is broken. It's broken on the flip side as well. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't end the retelling of the story of Chet HaMeraglim with Chet HaMeraglim itself. Take a look towards the end of this paragraph. Right after Moshe tells B'nai Yisrael, you're not going to be able to go in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to wait, and you're going to have to die out, and it's going to be your children who are not yet Yodei Tov V'ra. Your children will be the ones to go into Eretz Yisrael. And go back to the desert. Pasuk Mem Aleph. Vatanu vatomru elai. You turned around to me and you said, Chatanu, we sinned. Right, not what you would expect from that generation. They said, we sinned, we made a mistake. Chatanu la Hashem, we sinned against God. Anachnu na'alev and yilchamnu kechol asher tzivanu Hashem Elokeinu. We will now go up and fight, just like God commanded us. V'tachgeru ishet kleim yilchamto v'tahinu la'alot tahara. They then all got ready for war and they went out to go out to war. What's the problem? Louder. Worse. They weren't told. What, in fact, what were they told in the last pasuk? What did Moshe just tell them? Not only of you're told not to go. Turn around and head back to the desert. You're not going into Eretz Yisrael. So Chatanu la Hashem, they got right. But they missed the whole point. And they said, no, we made a mistake. We understand that now. Now we're going to go and fight that fight. And Moshe's like, no, you can't. You're still missing the whole point. Who fights the wars? God, who does not fight the wars? You, it doesn't come down to you. And so he turns to them and he says, Vayomer Hashem Eli, Pasuk Mem Bet. Hashem says to me, Emor lahem, tell them, Lo ta'alu, don't go up, Velo tilachamu, and don't fight. Ki eneni bekir bechem. I'm not with you, I'm not fighting this fight. Without me, there is no way to win this war. Because I'm in charge. That's not how this works. It doesn't work by trying to fight a war that I'm telling you not to fight, or by fighting war that I didn't tell you to fight. Either way, it's the same problem. You don't get it. It's about your relationship to me. It's about us. Don't fall before your enemies. I'm begging you. And I told you, and you didn't listen. And you rebelled against the word of God. Doing what God wants you to do when he doesn't want you to do it is not doing what God wants you to do. And they learned that the hard way, and they got sacked. They literally got killed. By Yitzhak Amori, and the Amori in fact did come out. Now it's self-fulfilling prophecy. But the Amorites came out and attacked them because God said, now don't go up. But Yitzhak Amori, v'hayushev bahar ha'hu likratchem, v'yudifu etchem kasher ta'ashen advorim, like bees, they ran after you and attacked you. V'yaktu etchem b'se'ir ad chorma, and they wiped you out. V'tashuvu v'tivku lifnei Hashem, v'lo shama Hashem b'kolchem, v'lo hezin alichem, and you cried out to God, but God didn't listen, because he told you don't go. Because that's not how it works. You need to fix things with me first. Things need to be put back together first. You need to understand how this world works. The fact that you went up shows me that you still don't get it. And you stayed at Kadesh for a long time. And then you went and encircled, and you started to go in circles and circles and circles. Not going anywhere for a long time. And that's the conclusion of that paragraph, driving home the fact that that one, they had this poisonous perspective of godliness, that that God wants to take us out to destroy us, but also that they just didn't understand how the whole thing works. They didn't understand how God works, they didn't understand what their relationship to Him is, they don't understand how the world works, how Hashkacha works, how God guides the world. Everything here isn't working. They have to understand that God is the one who moves the pieces on the board of life. And if He's fighting for you, you don't need to ask. And if He's not fighting for you, you're not going to win. And to drive that point home for them, finally, now that they've been sobered through being destroyed by the Amorites after going up when God and Moshe told them not to. So the next two paragraphs, we'll read only the opening psukim of each. Vayomer Hashem Elai Lemor, God told me, Moshe, as follows. Rav lachem sovat ha'arazet, it's enough of you traveling around this mountain, pulachem tzafona, go north. Ve'ata'am tzav limor, atem orim begvul achechem b'nei Esav yushim b'se'ir. You're about to pass by your brothers, the sons of Esav in Se'ir. Vayur'u mikem v'nishmartem ma'ot. Al tit garu vam, don't cause them trouble. Ki lo aten lachem me'artzam, I'm not going to give you their land. Ad midrach kaf ragel, ki yirushal Esav natati etar Se'ir, because I've given this land to Esav. Who decides who gets what land? God. And this land, says God, belongs to Esav, so don't mess with them. Because I gave this land to Esav. Next paragraph, keep driving the point home. Pasuk Tet. Vanifin vanavor derech midbar Moav. Then we came by midbar Moav. Vayomar Hashem Elai, al tatzar et Moav. Don't cause trouble for Moav. V'al titgar b'milchama. Don't start a war with them. Ki lo eten lacha mi'artzo, Yerusha. I'm not going to give you an inheritance in the land. Ki livnei lod natati et ar Yerusha. Why shouldn't you fight Moav? Because? Whose land? Moab's land belongs to the children of Lot, and I'm telling you, I'm giving it to them as an inheritance, and so don't cause any war with them, because you're going to lose. Because I'm giving it to them. I choose who get what's land. Which land goes to whom? And these two paragraphs to me didn't seem to be clearly hammering the point home for this generation, until finally this generation dies out, and then we can shift perspective, which is always the point. That's the concluding psukim here, Pasuk Yudalit. And the days which we traveled from Kadesh Barnea until we came to Nachal Zered, Shloshim Ushmona Shana. How long? 38 years. What just happened? We just fast-forwarded and switched generations. That's the pasuk where it happens. Which means that now these closing paragraphs should now relate to the new generation and the new perspective. And wouldn't you know it, they do. That was the middle of Pasuk Yudalit. Right? Shloshim Ushmona Shana, 38 years passed, Atom Kol Hador Anshei HaMilchama, until all of that generation, the generation of the war, Anshei HaMilchama, the people who were old enough to be counted for war, that generation of warriors who didn't understand how war works, they had to die out. And now that they've died out, Kasher Nishva Hashem, V'gam Yad Hashem V'chulei, B'seder, next paragraph. So now we can start a new paragraph for a new generation. Vayidaber Hashem Elai Lemor, God then said to me 38 years later, new generation, new army, and said, Ata over hayom et gvul Moav et Ar. Now you're going to go by Moav. V'karav tamul b'nei Amon. You're going to come to b'nei Amon. Al titzurim v'al titgar bam. Don't cause problems with them. Ki lo eten mi'eretz b'nei Amon. Lecha Yerusha. Ki livnei lo tentatiha Yerusha. So who's the first people to be coming into contact with? Moav and Amon. And God says, don't cause war with them. And this generation is able to hear that. Don't fight with them, because I'm telling you, you're not going to win that war. That land doesn't, again, that land, same thing, that land doesn't belong to you. Same people, 38 years later, nothing has changed. That land doesn't belong to you. Now, Pasuk Chavdalid. Kumu se'u v'ivru et Nachal Arnon. Go and cross Nachal Arnon. Reinatati v'yadcha et Sichon. And I am going to give into your hand. I will give to you. Sichon melech cheshbon ha'emori. Ve'et artso. Hachel reish. Back to that phrase. Go and take it. Go and fight that war. You're going to win. You're going to take that land as inheritance because I'm giving it to you. V'yidgar bo milchama, go and fight that war, provoke war with them, because that land belongs to you because I said so. And then to now drive that point home, not just on the external level, but on the internal level. Dvarim, fifth book, it's about the Dalit, but about the Yud. It's about the Hay, about the Yud inside. It's about the internal side of it also. It's about shifting our internal perspective as well. Hear the words now in a generation that can hear these words. Hayom hazeh achel teitpach decha v'yiratcha al panei ha'amim tachat kol ha'shamayim. This day I shall begin to place dread and fear of you on the people under the entire heaven. Asher yishmeun shimacha v'ragzu v'chalu mipanecha. When they hear of your reputation, they will tremble and be anxious before you. Who is going to make the world afraid of the Jews? Who needs to understand that it's God that's going to make them afraid of the Jews? B'nai Israel, that I am in control of history, that I fight the wars, that I move the pieces on the board, I decide who gets what land. Both, literally, I fight the wars for you. Hu ha'al nilcham lachem. But also, not only do I fight them for you, I even place the dread of you in their hearts. It's something that you do on your own either. We're in this together. And then when we go and we approach them, Pasuk Lamed, V'lo ava Sichon melech Heshbon avridabo, God didn't, not yet God, Sichon didn't let us go through them. Why? Well, nobody talks about it here because nobody reads Sefer Devar. We only talk about it by Paro. Why? Same problem. Ki hiksha Hashem Elokecha et rucho, v'imetzat levavo, leman tito biyadcha kayom hazeh. God hardened Sichon's heart so that we would go to war with them so we could give us their land. Totally different perspective. Showing the Jews, this new generation of Jews, how war works, and that we're in this together. Next paragraph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayomer Hashem Elai, Re'eh Hachilot Atet Lefanecha Tzichon Ve'et Arzo, see I have given before you Sichon and his land. Now Hachel Reish Rash, La Reshet Arzo, go and take his land. Vayetzi Sichon, Sichon comes after us. And in Perek Yimu Pasuk Aleph, Og Melech Hashbon, the same thing. Perek Yimu Pasuk Bet. Vayomer Hashem Elai, Al Tzira Oto, don't fear him. Ki Vyarchan Atati Oto, I have given him into your hand. Ve'et Kol Amo Ve'et Arzo, and his whole nation, his whole land. Vasita Lo Kasher, Asita L'Sichon Melech Amorim, you will do to Og, just like you did to Sichon, you will destroy them. Asher Yoshev B'Cheshbon. Vayitain Hashem Elokeinu Biyadeinu Gam Et Og Melech HaBashan. And from this is Moshe's perspective. Recognize God gave into our hands Sichon and Og. Vet Kol Amo Vanakehu Ad Bilti Shilo Sarid. And we wipe them out entirely. The emphasis here is on this initial automatic shift. It's a recognition of what was broken before, and that this new generation needs to, from the most basic levels, who's fighting the wars? How are those wars fought? That it always comes from God? And especially for this generation, because this generation is going to do what? What is this generation getting ready to do? Way too far ahead. What? Go into the land and they're going to have to fight a war. They're going to have to fight for that land. Like we talked about last semester when we talked about by the Chet of Moshe Rabbeinu, by the rock. We saw the perspective of the Malbim that originally, quotes Chazal, that again, wherever Moshe went, he was going to put his foot down and they were all going to fall miraculously. But now we have a shift in generations and we have to shift in the way the history is going to flow. And instead of Moshe going in and miraculously taking over the land, who's going to go into the land before them? Yeshua, because Yeshua, where does he stand in Parshat Beshalach? Is he up on the mountain or on the ground? He's on the ground because Yeshua is the person who fights physical wars while being linked back to Moshe, while being linked back to that Emunah, drawing that Emunah down into the battlefield. That's why Yeshua becomes the person to lead them into the land, because there is going to be war. But it has to be a war where we recognize that who is guiding that war, what is guiding that war? It's our Emunah and it's Hashem. And that's how Parashat Devarim concludes. That's the note it ends on. That's where it brings us to. Last Pesukim of the Parsha, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Perek Gimel Pasuk Chaf Aleph. that Yeshua tziveti ba'eta hi lemor, and at that time I commanded Yeshua saying, Einecha haro'ot et kol asher asa Hashem Elokechem l'shnei ha'melachim ha'ele. You, Yeshua, who with your own two eyes saw me hand Sichon and Og into your hands, who saw a battle with two nations that were mightier than you, but you overcame them because I told you that I will fight for you, says God. That I'm the one who fights the wars. And that when I tell you I'm going to give you a land, you may have to pick up that sword, but I'm guiding it. You who saw that with your own two eyes, now that you know that, now that you've experienced that, internalize that. Right? Mishneh Torah. Internalize that. Make that a part of your perspective. See things differently and understand. Kein ya'aseh Hashem l'chol ha'mamlachot asher ata over shama. So too will God do to all the nations that you go before you. This was an opportunity for Bnei Yisrael to see and to learn what it means to fight a war within a reality of emunah. To teach Yeshua how to be the leader who's going to take the people into a land where you're going to have to fight for the land. But remember, the only way that you're going to win is if you remember that it's God who's fighting that war. In all of Sefer Yeshua, they lose one battle. Anybody familiar with what battle they lose? Ai. They lose against Ai. Why do they lose against Ai? Because they weren't powerful enough, they didn't train well enough, they didn't have a good enough plan. Why do they lose against Ai? Because one person stole Hekdesh. Because one person stole something that belonged to God, and God said, if you are not a clean people, if you are not a pure people, and I am not in your midst, then you lose. And that was the only time they lose in entire Sefer Yeshua. Because it's not about the physical war, it's about, are you connected to me and do you recognize that I'm fighting for you, and without me there's no point in fighting, because I'm giving you this land as a gift. Do you understand final pasuk of Parshat Devarim? Lo tira'um, don't fear anybody in front of you. Ki Hashem Elokeichem hu hanilcham lachem. End parasha. God's the one who fights the wars for you. You know, so often we look to the first pasuk to understand what the essence of the parsha is about, but the concluding pasuk also gives us such insight into what the parsha is about. I built it backwards. I was reading through all of these paragraphs, and I'm thinking, what is all of this emphasis on war? And when you come to that conclusion, when that's the final note of the parsha, you get what God is trying to hammer home. That this new generation needed to internalize as opposed to the previous generation that didn't fight for Eretz Yisrael when God said, I'm with you, and had the chutzpah to try and fight for it when God said, I'm not with you, who totally missed the point. They then go through the process of recognizing that God tells you who to fight, and God is with you, and God puts the fear of you in their hearts, and that God picks up that sword for you even though it's in your hand. That's how it works. And if you're a generation who can recognize that God is going to take you into this land, that you need God with you to fight, that there's no fight unless you're close to God, then you can enter this land and you'll be able to take it. This new generation that's going to have to fight for it. What does fighting for Eretz Yisrael mean? It means a fight of emunah. It means a fight of closer with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because he's the one who fights those wars. So, in the schus of Ariella, that is how everything comes together. Those last two parts of Parshat Devarim. We'll take a couple minute break, and then we're actually going to jump right into the background for Parshat Devarim.